Welcome back. Wrapping up the show here, KER Politics with Rabbi Jeffrey Katz. I like what this gentleman has to say. He makes a lot of sense. You were talking about the redemption of Governor Northam. You want to continue on? Let's wrap that one up. But go ahead and continue on with that train of thought.
So I was wrapping up, Al, just saying the question becomes, when the question is, should he be forgiven over these blackface incidents, rude incidents that happened those decades ago, the question just becomes, how has he acted on the race issue? Has he helped minorities since then? Has he sued race relations? And his record was just abysmal, because you go back to the last campaign and those vicious tack commercials he ran on the race issue against, you know, his opponent and their supporters, Ed Gillespie and Gillespie supporters. They just show that he was just so cynically using the race card for opportunistic personal political gain and was not interested at all in soothing race relations and improving the lot of minorities. So he basically flunked that test, and as a result, he really needs to step down.
I think that's a very good point. It isn't actions of decades ago. It's current actions that really define a person. And from what you're saying, I have to agree with you 1,000% on that. I'd like to get back, if you don't mind, to the State of the Union address. I found the State of the Union address to be, I would have to say, bordering on genius. I'm on the record to thousands of people saying that I don't think Trump is the man for the job. And my reason behind saying that is because I felt for a long time that Trump really wasn't a very good communicator. Okay. I think he proved to me at the State of the Union address that he is actually an excellent communicator. And I tell you, I don't envy the political opposition to him at all, because anybody with an IQ above, 70 would understand that he really is accomplishing some major, major improvements in our country, putting them into place. Any comments on that?
Yeah, yes. No question, his work by virtue of the State of the Union address was really incredibly artful, because you basically had half of the room who were predisposed not to clap at anything virtually, not to make this a happy event for the president, and somehow the president negotiated the room in such a manner that they wound up, you know, that even on the left side of the aisle, it winds up that there was smiles and laughter and applause, and not at the president, but basically all, you know, joining in together. It was not consistent throughout, but he really did break the ice, and he managed to unify the room. You know, when you step back and you look at the event in toto, he really did unify the room. And given the predisposition of the quote-unquote resistance going into the State of the Union and everything that led up to the State of the Union and all the gamesmanship that led up to it with, Nancy Pelosi saying she was not going to make it available and dependent on the resolution of the shutdown and all of that stuff, it really was a major success, just that it went off so well. And it really showed masterful political skill and great communication skills, no question about it, for which the president is definitely underscored by many people.
Well, let me ask you this, Rabbi, and that is, I thought it was absolute genius when at the end of the speech he asked the Holocaust survivor, the older gentleman, to stand up. It turned out to be his birthday. I mean, of course that was planned, but it made a point. It was his birthday, and the entire audience stood up and sang happy birthday. To me, that proves that the president can accomplish things across the aisle. I mean, of course, it was incredibly appropriate to sing happy birthday to this guy. But the fact of the matter is, the audience, both sides of the aisle, and I'm sure some of the protesters who Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez invited to sit upstairs in the gallery, I'm sure they had to stand too, because if they didn't, they would have looked pretty, pretty silly. Don't you agree?
Right. Absolutely. What a touching moment that was, wasn't it, Al? Really was amazing. I was almost myself, I was actually brought to tears when who heard the story, when I heard the, when we all heard the story about the Jewish army, a soldier liberating the Jews from the concentration camp. I mean, that dynamic was just so powerful. And I mean, the theater was amazing. The theater of it was amazing. But much more importantly, the real life truth behind that theater was even more amazing. And it was even more touching. And it really does show, I mean, the president was also trying to make a point. Not only has America, in fact, done these life-saving, world-saving things in the past, where we kind of bailed out the whole world a few times in the last century, but this is really the way for the future. You see, like the Green New Deal, just shutting down American industry, first of all, it's not even going to help that much the climate. Even if what it does would be helpful for the climate, just shutting down American industry and American initiative and letting all of our adversaries dominate us, I mean, it's as if that's going to even do anything for planetary, good of the environment. Even that it's not going to do. It's so sad that extremists on the left, you know, basically think that shutting down American initiative and killing millions upon millions of American jobs, and even just destroying whole industries, that's their patriotism. I mean, go figure. It's like up is down, down is up.
Well, I have to tell you, I have done a fair amount of work this past week doing editorials on the green issue, as I guess you have to call it. And I don't know what the final draft, what the final bill is going to, it looks like. It came early this morning to me, and unfortunately I had interviews that I had to prepare for, so I haven't really read it yet. But what I find to be interesting is I think it was a stroke of absolute genius that Mitch McConnell brought this thing up for a vote in the Senate next week. And of course the Democrats, you know, are really trying to wiggle out, not necessarily trying to wiggle out of that, but their main goal right now is to make McConnell look like an idiot for doing that. And I think that is, I mean, my God, you know, as Rodney King said when the police beat the crap out of him, really, yeah, in a very inappropriately down in the East LA or whatever it was, why can't we all just get along? Reverend Katz, we have about a minute and a half left here. Please comment on what I just said. Why can't we all just get along?
Mm-hmm. We all get along should be our motto, no question. That those are really words of wisdom. And if we can apply some of the most basic teachings of Maimonides, I'll give you another instance, Al. Maimonides was an absolute pioneer in the field of unconditional love. And the best way to treat not only ourselves, but to treat our family and our neighbors, basically. And even though we have tremendous disagreements on issues like political issues, there is a civility that has been missing now from our society. The principles of unconditional love that Maimonides, again, he was the first person to write so eloquently and elaborately about the principles of unconditional devotion and unconditional love and the proper way to treat our fellows. If we can get back some of that civility, we'll be a lot better off overall, because we've really lost something in the fact that we're making attacking people on a personal level the like main object of politics now, instead of arguing policy. It's really demoted our society, and we can raise the tone of the society by following these principles that I lay out in The Secret Life, a book of wisdom, which even though they are ancient, they are more applicable today than they've ever been, and they're really the road for our society and our and each of us on an individual basis to pursue what Maimonides would have called our own individual perfection.
Rabbi Jeffrey Katz, thank you so much for coming on KER Politics this week, sir. I like your ideas. I will buy your book before the weekend is over, and I would like to get you back on KER Politics within a couple of weeks. You're a great guy.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.